today on Real Radio.
You think when God says to you, now you need to forgive her, you think, I am not going to forgive her. God is saying this, I gave you the ability to forgive her so I can set you free, mister. Forgiveness sets us free, not the person that sinned against us. Where do we get that thinking from?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. This series is designed to show you how to thrive as a Christian even in all the chaos and confusion of everyday real life. You know, we can't do it alone. However, we need the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to not only do the right thing, but to stand up for that which we believe in. So, what can a Christian do to save their marriage? Well, there's nothing more contrary to being a follower of Christ than divorce. There's no greater test of our obedience to Christ and the Bible than when a Christian is faced with the threat of divorce. Spiritually, a marriage is a union of two becoming one. You no longer belong only to yourself, but to God and to your spouse. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to ask, what is God's heart on marriage? He wants us to seek trusted help to stay together and eliminate all threats and distractions. We're to set goals with accountability in mind. But most of all, we're to forgive, not just one time, but daily. And now in his message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Number two is exhaust every opportunity to reconcile. Are you tonight thinking, I'm heading for a divorce? Let me ask you something. On what grounds? Oh, she's been messing around. And you know it. Oh, I got a private detective. You figured it out. Okay. What if it's true? Oh, it's true, all right. Let me ask you this. Are you a Christian? Yep. Oh, okay, good. We have something to work with then. Because according to the Bible, you are to exhaust every route to reconcile. Don't dare think for a moment that God is in this thing of yours and will bless your life even if he or she has sinned against you in adultery. And you say, well, look, she's committed. He's committed adultery. I'm going right down to the attorney's office. That's not what God said to do. There is a standard higher than that. It is to forgive him or to forgive her. Oh, you don't know what they've done. No, I do not know what they've done, but God knows what you've done. See, we start pointing at people. She cheated on me. He cheated on me. Wait a minute. I cheated. We cheated on God. Our arrogance, our pride, our selfishness put him on the cross. You see, listen, whenever someone's going like this, you, and you know what you, and you never, and you always, you know what that is? That is an absolute display of what they have forgotten of themselves. They, me, you and I together, you look so angelic, but we have all put Christ on the cross. And when you begin to embrace that and understand that, and that humbles your heart, now there's grounds for forgiveness. Reconcile. It's the number one thing to do. Contrary to popular thought, divorce should never be the first step. When there's infidelity in the marriage, when something goes terribly wrong, according to God, it's to seek reconciliation. Getting cheated on is one of the most, perhaps the most damaging and scarring events of human life. It's the ultimate betrayal. But what would God have you to do? It cannot be overcome, my friend, without the power of God. You may storm out of here tonight thinking, I can't take that. I'm going to do my own thing. Good luck. Good luck. Luck is all you have. You need God. It's a spiritual union. I can't prove this exactly, but even among non-believers who get married. You see, Pastor, they just go down to the courthouse and get married. I understand that. It's just a legal piece of paper. I understand that. But there is a thing that you and I, like the air that we cannot see that we're breathing right now, there's an invisible thing I believe takes place regarding the institution of marriage that even when two non-believers come together, there's something that happens. And I think I can prove it in this context that when two non-believers break up, or when there's pain, or when there's illness or hurting, do not those two non-believers have feelings as well? Do they not have jealousy or rage or love or compassion? Does it not hurt when they separate? The non-believer feels just like the believer when it comes to a breaking of a marriage. Why? Because it is a spiritual union of two people coming together, and God is in it. He is there, and he wants the marriage to work. We are, first of all, to seek reconciliation above all things. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, the Bible says to all Christians, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us," that's you and I, "the ministry of reconciliation." That means God has given us the anointing to make up. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them any longer. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, now listen, you guys. That's an awesome statement. I'm going to keep reading here in a second, but he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't raise your hand. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Then you have been given the ministry to make up with your husband and your wife. Why won't you do it? She hurt me. He doesn't understand me. Work through it. Put God right in the middle of it. You know, we're funny people. When we get hurt, when somebody upsets us, for the first few seconds, we're angry at that person. I don't like that guy anymore. And then if the pain is there any longer than that, we turn around and we take it out on God. We're like reaching through the clouds trying to slug him emotionally. You say, "I'd never do that." Yeah, you do. When somebody hurts your feeling, or if I say something in the pulpit, or another Christian upsets you with some critique or whatever, and you stay home from church, what are you doing?
"I'm not going to church anymore."
Okay. What are you, funny? That's crazy. You're only attacking God. Understand this. He has given you and I, if we're Christians, the ministry to make up, to make it work. See, some of us don't like to hear this right now because now it's the responsibility's on me. Is that what you're saying? But he cheated on me. Listen, he's nuts. He's messed up right now. She's crazy. She's gone off the deep end. Yes, that's right. That's why I'm out of here. No, no, no. Fight for it. You got to understand something. When God welds you together and then life comes in and hits your home really hard and you think that cutting half your body off and walking away, you're going to live long? Oh, you may live to be 90 years old and die of old age. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living with half a heart. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to make up. I'm going to give you 8 things. You got to write them down. 8 key steps to reconciliation. You got to write them down. Number one, trusted, proven help must be sought out and committed to. Are you married? Yep. Are you having a rough time? Yep. Then you must seek out and find trusted help and commit yourself to that mentoring couple or whoever that person or people may be. I recommend a couple. Number two, listen, all threats and distractions must be eliminated for you to be reconciled. So what does that mean? If you have Bubbles' phone number in your phone, A, delete it or throw your phone away. What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? "Oh yeah, Mom committed to marriage. I want it to work." Then get her number out of your phone. "Well, he's really nice and we might, what's it called? Facebook or my face. But we just talk." Hey, you know what? Guys, maybe guys can just talk. I don't know. I'm not sure. But when a woman talks to somebody, "He understands me." Look, are you MySpacing with somebody right now? MySpacing with somebody right now? Listen. Do you understand? Listen. 99% of a guy's conversation with you, even if it's on a keyboard, he doesn't care what your favorite color is. unless it is a negligee. That's what he's thinking. Oh, you know what? What would you like to do? Oh, I'd like to watch the sunset with hot chocolate. He's thinking a sunset, hot chocolate, and you naked. No, not this guy I met on MySpace. No, not this guy. That's part of the trick. Wake up. For men, it's visual. For women, it's reading or auditory, which all leads to emotion. In this world, man, I'm telling you, people are doing all this stuff. They talk more to strangers than they do their own spouses. And it is wrong. Remove all threats and distractions. They have to be eliminated if you're going to make a serious effort to reconcile with your wife or your husband, which God wants you to do. Number three, an atmosphere of healing must be established. You need to, as God speaks to you, you need to clear out your home if there's anything that is attacking that environment, that atmosphere of healing. Number four, the Bible has to be the foundation to what you're doing. In fact, because the Bible wasn't the foundation is how you got messed up, right? So I don't know. Oh yeah, husband and wife, were you guys praying together and reading your Bible together? It's kind of hard to have an affair when you're praying and reading a Bible together. Number five, goals must be set and monitored. This is a big deal. Goals must be set. Guys, most guys hate goals like that. It's like, what's the goal? I want him to speak nice to me. Oh, man. Don't give the guy 10 things. If that's it, give him one. You will speak nice to her this month, and we will report back every other day by phone at least. I'm serious about this. I'm not joking. Number six, forgiveness must be exercised daily. Daily forgiveness. Some people, you know, they're committed to the marriage. They want to make it work, but they hold this, you know, the old bury the hatchet. Remember the handle sticking out of the ground when you bury the hatchet. And this is the thing, you guys have heard it here before, but I'm going to say it again. It needs to be repeated. You think when God says to you, now you need to forgive her, you think, I am not going to forgive her. God is saying this, you will not do good, my friend, unless you forgive her. I gave you the ability to forgive her so I can set you free, mister. I have given you, young lady, the ability to forgive so you can be free. Forgiveness sets us free, not the person that sinned against us. Where do we get that thinking from? I'm not going to forgive you. Why don't you just shoot yourself in the foot then? God gave us the power to forgive the person that hurt us so we would go free. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Flip it around. I will never forgive you. And this is how you live your life. You see people like that. They walk into the restaurant. They sit down. Angry, bitter, grumpy, griping. And you ask them, what's up? Ah, you know what? Bitter, angry. God gave us the ability to forgive, so we're free. And without that, there's no healing. Number seven, a united front must be created. A husband and wife need to be trained and reschooled on how to be on the same team again, like it was in the beginning when nothing could come in between you. You can do it. You did it before. And number eight, a lifelong maintenance warranty program has got to be applied. Lifelong. How's that? Staying in fellowship with God and with one another. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord, and husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Isn't that great? Listen to this. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Why? Because that's what the husband loves. He loves that. Shows a sign of respect. He loves it. Women, don't you have a hard time doing that? I mean, come on, right? That's why God said to do it. Because it takes a dying to the flesh, takes a dying to the self. And that very thing that you just wanted to, I am not going to do that, is the very thing that blesses him. Now watch this. Don't panic. Verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Wives, respect your husband, and husbands, love your wife. You guys, I mean, not you guys, you gals, you girls, it's not easy for us guys to love you the way that you define love. We love you, but it's like, hey, babe, how you doing? Great. Awesome. Right? We are so simple. We are like dump trucks. It's big and noisy. It gets the job done. There's not much bells and whistles on the thing. Girls, they're like the Porsche, the Ferrari, the Lamborghini. You look at that car wrong and it's like, oh man, it doesn't even sound right anymore. Very, very technical and high end. We're simple. That's why guys, as guys have friends, hey, how you doing? Great. Awesome. And so the Lakers, you know. And then we go home. How was your time with Bob? It was the best. Those differences, God brings into a marriage. He made us that different. And so wives want love. Men, we need to learn how to love our wives. And here's the cool thing. When a husband is loving his wife, she is delighted to submit. And guess what? Never do they come and say, hey, do you love me or what? They don't have to ask. And he doesn't say, I don't know if you're submitting or not, babe. He doesn't have to ask. It's never brought up because it's going on in an endless cycle of fellowship because you're fearing the Lord. It's amazing. Number three, avoid the counsel of others. All right, ushers, lock these doors. Nobody gets up. If you get up now, you'll be indicting yourself as a gossip and a busybody. Nobody move. You have to go to the bathroom? Too bad. Check this out. This is the number one killer of marriages. Oh, what did he say to you today?
He said that my hair was ugly.
Oh, you know what? You need to take that. I tell you what, you know what I did? Here's how I ruined my marriage. I went, don't listen to people. See, Pastor Jack, isn't there wisdom in a multitude of counselors? Godly people. Big difference. Avoid the counsel of others. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. You know, my friends are all Christians and they're telling me that I should dump the bum. I don't care if the Pope's your friend. What does God say in the Bible about it? I know we have a limited time and I know you've got 1,000 things. Yeah, but Pastor Jack, he beats me. He beats you, get out of the house and call the cops. But we're married. Get out of the house and call the cops. Christianity never has the husband. I have to add husband because I told you before, we've had husbands get beat up by wives. Husbands and wives in Christianity are never to become carpets to be stomped on, to be vandalized and victimized. You can thank God you still yet live in a country where you can call the cops on a lunatic, rage, maniac wife or husband who's gone off. She beats the kids. Get them out of the house and call the police. See, are you serious about that? I'm dead serious about that. Maybe through all of that, because listen, that is a high level of danger and it takes an extreme response. Yes, get your friends praying. Yes, give her or him a Bible as they're driving them away in the squad car. Yes, I mean it. Pray for them. But it takes that amount of discipline and judgment to maybe wake them up. Avoid the counsel of others. Human wisdom, knowledge is very dangerous, my friends, regarding marriage and relationships. It's because it's a God thing, and human wisdom can destroy us. Things like this. Your friends might try to make you feel better by saying things like this. Hey, let's go out and give him some of his own medicine. Some of your ungodly counselors might say things like, do to her what she's done to you. Or now it's time to get even, buddy. In Psalm 1, verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I don't care what your friends are telling you. Don't go there. The fear of the Lord will govern your decisions and your decision-making process. Go to the Word. If your marriage is having a difficult time right now and you're spending more time talking to people than you are to God, then you're in trouble. Job 28:28 and Proverbs 1:7 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Go to God. In Luke 16:18, Jesus said, "Whoever divorces, puts away, cuts her off, severances his wife, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery." Why? Because the divorce was fraudulent in the eyes of God. And so many people go down a path because they listen to the wrong people. You guys, you need to be careful even in churches, even with ministers and pastors and counselors and lay leaders. What does the Bible say? Because people will say, well, you know what? Because everyone has their own life story. Well, you know what? The Bible says this. I know that this could, and a friend of mine, you know what? He did this and his life's blessed. Be careful. And another thing that's very dangerous is people, when you're not hearing what you want to hear, you'll go to church A and you don't like what they're saying. Then you go to church B and then you go to church C, or you'll go to pastor so-and-so and you don't like what they're hearing. Then you go to pastor so-and-so or pastor so-and-so, and you go like a little bee going to flowers until you hear the thing that justifies what you want to do. This happens every day in ministry. I tell you, remember I've told you guys, you don't want to counsel with me? I'll just tell you up front. Some of you who may be here, you know what, you know this already. When people come into my office, you know what, this is our last time. This is our last time together. Why? What's going on? We're divorcing. Why? Well, she burned my eggs. Well, his socks stink. Oh, okay. You guys have Bibles? Yeah, they're right here. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to get divorced. Yep. Already contacted the attorneys. Okay. I get my trash can and I hold it. Put your Bibles in the trash can. Excuse me? Put your Bibles in my trash can. Well, why would I do that? Well, you're not obeying it. You're not doing it. In fact, give me your Bibles, and I want you now, because you're already doing it by actions. Listen, I'm not joking. I want you now, before myself as a witness and God who's listening, I want you to denounce Christ now. Well, I'm not going to do that. Then go home and make your marriage work. I'm dead serious about that. Well, that's harsh. That's harsh. You should have thought of that before you messed up your marriage. You want to talk about harsh? That's harsh.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. So glad you could join us today. And you know, our prayer is that you seek the Lord in all things, including your marriage. Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack and Lisa wrote a book on marriage and family? It's called Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. God can change your life and your marriage as you put Christ first. In that way, we can leave a spiritual legacy to our children that's more than what we received. Pastor Jack and Lisa are very candid about their upbringing and what God really wants to do in their lives. Again, the book is called Turnaround at Home by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. And for a gift of any amount, you can order it when you call 877-777-2346. Or it's easier at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Let me give you that number again, 877-777-2346. Or find the book at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.